Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in New York. Today is Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 64, the first paragraph, beginning with, "Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory," ending with, "He cannot fool himself about values," and we're reading in that one paragraph only. And today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., Rhonda R. is doing the traditions, page 164, first paragraph. Our text reader is Yvonne A., page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only is Shelley E., backup reader Penny L.C., newcomer greeter Loretta M., and announcements are Reggie O. And thank you, everyone, on Team Tuesday. This has been a wonderful month of service. Thank you. Let's see. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, February 27th, 2023, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 20,001. Wow. And this morning, Tuesday, February 28th, 2023, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 20,003. 20003. Wow, we are really getting up there. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'm going to ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Star one, Joanne.
Okay, hi. Good morning, Diane. Thank you so much for your service today, and it was lovely being with all you West Coast people. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered in Rhode Island. So, step one, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I want to say thank you to Leah for the service this month. Have a great meeting. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. Next, I'm going to ask Rhonda R., would you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Diane. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the chance to do service this month on Team Tuesday. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thank you, everyone. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we request that you do not use the speaker function as this creates a lot of background noise. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. Excuse me, we're on page 64. Start the first paragraph, starting with, therefore we started upon a personal inventory, and we are ending with, he cannot fool himself without values. And we're reading that one paragraph only. So now I'm going to ask Yvonne A. to please get us going. Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you, Diane, for your service this month. I'm Yvonne A., a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. Good morning, everyone. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One objective is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. Ooh, and so for me, this is my first, I've only been in the program for 10 months. And when I went through this process of starting step 4, I was scared, but I have also went into it thinking that I wasn't going to have that much inventory that I had to get rid of. I had a picture of myself as an honest, kind, giving person, and as I started into that personal inventory, I realized that I was indeed fooling myself about my values. And for me personally, dishonesty. I would have told you I was honest as the day was long, as the saying goes. And what I discovered was that there was dishonesty at every turn. Dishonesty about big things, dishonesty about little tiny things that there was not even a reason to be dishonest about. And so I also realized that when they said it had to be a fact-finding mission and a fact-facing process, that meant that I just had to face the facts. I didn't have to judge them. I didn't have to go into morbid reflection. I didn't have to tear myself apart for being a terrible person. I just had to write the facts down, and I had to start learning things about myself. I'm 60 years old, and I barely knew or know anything about myself, because all of these years I just kept taking my drug, so that I didn't have to face those facts. And so it was not as challenging or as difficult as I thought. It was eye-opening for sure. And I just tried to take it one piece at a time. And I'm still taking it one piece at a time, because all those things, just because I wrote them in an inventory, and realized I could see the patterns, could see the character defects. They didn't just disappear, and they didn't just disappear with steps 6 and 7. I have to work on those things every single day. And I say the 7th step prayer every single day to keep circling around to that step 4 and to take my personal inventory and get rid of the things that are of no use to me and that are not serving any useful purpose. And with that, I'm going to pass this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to do service this month.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thank you for getting us going. Okay, so now I'm going to take names of people. Give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and your state, please. Star 1 to unmute.
Amy W. from California.
Amy.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. I have Amy W.
Rella.
Barbara A. I'm sorry, who was that?
Rella R. from Brooklyn.
W-E-L-L-A.
R-E-L-L-A, R like Robert.
Arella, R-E-L-L-A, New York. Got it. Thank you.
Javier.
Okay, I had Javier. Is somebody after Javier?
Carol W. from Alaska.
Carol W. from Alaska. Wow. You got a lot of
notes.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Somebody L?
Jordan.
Oh, all right. Wait. Who had the initial L?
Jordan.
Jordan
L.
Got you. From Oregon?
Yes.
Okay.
No,
who was
from
after
Colorado.
Jordan? Oh, my gosh. And who was after Jordan?
Chevy F, as in Frank,
okay.
From New Jersey.
Okay, great. So this is a great lineup. Thank you. Amy W., Barbara A., Rella R., Javier, I did not get your last initial of where you're from, Carol W., Jordan L., Chevy F. Okay, Amy W., you're first. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for your service, Diane, and thank you for everyone being on the line this morning in this fellowship. What a paragraph. Just honing in on a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. And I was reflecting on, for me, what going broke is, and that's being spiritually broke, and that's being back in the food. And I've been there and I know where that leads me. Misery back guaranteed. And today I don't live that way because of these 12 steps, because of this fellowship, and because I'm sober and living life aware with my 2 feet firmly planted on the earth, whereas I used to anesthetize and not want to be here. So what does this mean for me today in terms of regular inventory? And certainly there's step 4, but then I live in 10, 11, and 12, and step 10 is a 4 through 9. And life's been difficult for me lately. A lot of things are happening with family and health with family and one of my sons in particular, and it's been hard. And yet I know I'm not alone because of this inventory, and I get the opportunity to look at where I'm being resentful, selfish, or self-oriented, dishonest, and give it over. That's that fact-finding and fact-facing. I used to find that a burden to do that, and today it's not a burden because of the gifts that it gives me walking with my higher power through this difficult time, sober. So I just am so grateful to be here today with you all, and I'm grateful for this program, and thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Amy. Next we have Barbara A. from California.
Hi, this is Barbara A., Central California. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the opportunity to share. So grateful. I am currently working with my sponsor. We have just gone through 11, and now I'm ready for the chapter on, you know, helping others. And there's fear, because I have that old coat that I always wear, that I have to look a certain way, that image. I mean, yes, I did my inventory. Every day I'm bumping into my character defects and talking to someone about it and getting clear, and just want to go forward. Don't want to step back again into the food. Yes, this I do have fear. I'm consumed with fear. God is there. I've been in this program a long time. I know that God is there. I know that he loves me. It's something that I learned from this program, that he was not a vengeful God. He wasn't someone that was going to punish me or watch everything I did and wait for me to screw up. It's a whole new relationship, and that's where I have to stay. I'm so grateful to check into these meetings every day to listen, because this is where I get my strength. And I've heard people say it before, I've never had the recovery that I've had coming to these meetings and working the 12 steps the vision way. So grateful to be here. If anyone's struggling, I know I've been there 100 million times. I love to say that. Picking up the food, the next right decision for me is to don't pick up the food, pick up the phone, pick up a meeting, rely on God. So with that, I'm going to close, and thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Next, we have Rella R. from New York. Rella, star 1, please. Rella, we're not hearing you.
I make the same mistake. I press star 6. Instead of star 1.
There you are. We heard you now.
Yeah. Yep. This meeting is number 1. I really do appreciate this meeting. It keeps me connected every morning. It helps me start my day with a good focus. Unfortunately, I did not hear the reading, but I did hear some people speaking about honesty and making an accounting, the spiritual accounting. So, I have a tremendous ability to rationalize and fantasize and magical thinking and all kinds of other defense or protective mechanisms that I've learned when I was a child growing up in a very chaotic and dysfunctional home. They're not serving me anymore. And my weight and my health is affected thereby. So I'm really grateful. I just want to put this out to my sponsor that I found through Vision, with whom I'm going back. I didn't think I was going to do it again, but we're going back. We started from the beginning of the big book. We're reading a couple of times a week from it. I'm finding it, and I'm hearing it as if for the first time. Every time I read it, it's like hearing new things, and different parts of it apply to me. Honesty means being realistic and not romantic, where my mind tends to go. And it starts with what I'm putting into my body and being honest about that. My sponsor does not recommend that I overuse, that I use the scale too much. So I'm limiting it to once a month. Praying for the willingness every day to stay abstinent, very grateful to my higher power that he's, that I'm feeling his help. I'm feeling that he's slowly lifting the cravings, doing my daily readings. I find it very uplifting from food for thought. And yesterday's reminder to eat slowly and mindfully, to think of to notice the people around me while I'm eating. I tend to go into some kind of haze, like some kind of trance when I'm eating. So I'm trying to keep my eyes and ears open and to my surroundings and, you know, appreciate my surroundings, appreciate what I'm eating. So a lot of gratitude for this program, and thank you all. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rella. Next, we have Javier, and I did not get the initial of your last name or where you're from, so if you give us that, please, when you introduce yourself.
Yeah, my last name is with an A, and I'm from California.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, when I noticed that when I came into this program, I thought I was a good person, but then I started learning about myself and my character defects, and I noticed that I had a lot of defects. But I think it was easy to admit them. But then when I saw them, I started to realize, oh my God, I had so many bad things. It's been a process. You know, I've been away for 3 years, and it's helped me a lot. You know, it's helped me in just to grow as a person. I'm getting back on track thanks to this program. I started the program for a couple of months, and thank God I am. But I'm just grateful to be back and grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Javier. Next, we have Carol W. from Alaska. Star one, Carol.
Hello. This is my first time at this meeting. And the thing I am most impressed by are the number of people who participated or helped lead the meeting who are in recovery. That is so inspiring and helpful for me. Thank you. What I got out of the reading was primarily the realization that someone who thinks they are honest can in fact be very dishonest, perhaps in ways that are very under the covers that people don't see. I know I'm dishonest about my emotions a lot. I know I'm dishonest about how I feel about people. That's about all I have to say today. Thank you so much for letting me participate.
Thank you, Carol. Keep coming back. We love to have newcomers, and you'll have an opportunity later to give your phone number if you want to be contacted. We're glad you're here. Okay, Jordan L. from Colorado. Sorry about that. You're up.
Hey, thanks, Diane, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So this paragraph, talking about a business, I just real quick, like for some context, I think that it's been we're like coming up on like 100 years since this book has been written, right? And a lot has changed in that time. So I just want to mention real quick, like, I think these days sometimes like the word business might put a bad taste in the people's mouths. And I just want to mention that like back in the day when this was written, business was a somewhat like new term or new thought. Like it had really shifted a lot during the 1800s and early 1900s around like industrialism, right? Industrialism was something that really shifted human life in a very, very positive direction. It lifted a lot of people out of poverty and improved the daily lives and living conditions for a lot of people, at least in the Western world. So the term business was like a pretty positive thing at this point in time when this book was written. So, and I think that's why it is that Bill probably used it as an example. And so he's talking about taking regular inventory here, a fact-finding and fact-facing process, discovering the truth about the stock in trade, and not fooling ourselves about values, right? And I can tell you, like, from the perspective of a business owner, you are going to go into that inventory process with as least amount of bias as you possibly can. And it's hard because you're the owner of this business. You've invested a ton of time and energy and money, and like you've made a lot of investment into the business. So it's hard to go into that inventory process and look at it from a perspective of like, what is valuable here? You know, like what is actually creating value for my business and what is like holding my business back? And that's what we're talking about here. Like what is, we go into this four-step inventory process, not so much to be a better person. Like I wasn't a horrible person before I came to OA. Like I really wasn't. I'll wrap up. I had very good intentions, but I need to go into this from the perspective of like, what are the characteristics of me that are creating value for my life, and which ones are holding me back, you know, and look at it with the least amount of bias possible. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jordan. Excuse me. And next we have Chevy F. from New Jersey. Chevy, star one, please.
Yeah, hi. Am I being heard?
Yes, you are. Loud and clear.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I want to unmute. Okay. It's just such a wonderful way to start my morning. I just love this meeting, and I'm reminded, I actually had this thought yesterday, I guess because we were starting to read, and I was on the meeting yesterday about the fourth step, and I was coming from a different program where I did a very long and drawn-out fourth step. I mean, it took me over a year, and I still have the files on my computer, and I always say, like, I don't know if there was to be a fire, God forbid, my computer is the most precious thing. And I had this thought yesterday that I don't want to, like, that it's time for me to delete those files. Like, why am I holding on to that, like, my past? And I don't even know why I said that. I think that even I was told by my sponsor it's not something you need to hold on to, and I thought that that was just not something I could let go of ever. And now as I'm probably getting ready to start my fourth step here, and I'm looking forward to the fact that it doesn't have to be such a drawn-out, long, arduous process, I said, like, no, I don't want to hold on to that. That's not defining who I am. I'm not stuck there anymore. It's just about being able to live fully and Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that process. And the line that came out at me was the last line of the paragraph. If the owner of the business to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. It's interesting. It brings to mind, you know, my great grandmother just passed away. She was just a wondrous, wondrous woman who literally lived by her, truly lived by her values of honesty, of integrity, of love, of, and she used to describe how she did that. And she would say, you know, when I had, and she was a very strong woman. She had an opinion, but somehow she never came across as, you know, having an opinion for you. So I actually once heard that she said this, and I've heard it from her too in different ways, where she was asked, like, how did you, you know, you were such a strong woman. I mean, what do you do when you thought, like, judgmental things about people? She'd be like, I always looked back at myself, looked at myself in the mirror and said, like, why am I judging her? What about me makes me feel like I need to judge that person? And that was a woman of, you know, she passed away at 99. So I look at the inventory as a process of, you know, getting closer to the truth. You know, it's like when all these things come up, you know, I used to have a lot of, and I do have, like, sometimes shame and self-loathing, like all these defects and all stuff. And now I look at it as, you know, what I think and what I do and how I act, and it's real, but it's not the truth necessarily. I want to be able to line up the truth with, you know, with my life. So my sponsor, like, you know, urges me to say this. Like, I look forward to when that thought will come up again because I'm not afraid of it.
It's just a way.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just going to wrap up. It's just a way for me to remember, oh, you know, yeah, that defect, yeah, of course it's going to keep coming up. I'm not afraid. It's just a way for me to reconnect with God, give it to him, let go, and be willing to be receptive to his will. So thank you for letting me share. Yeah, I'll end there.
Thank you, Chevy. All right, now I can take names and for more people who would like to share. Give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and where you're from, please.
What's your Patreon, please?
Ronnie
I'm
B.
Sorry.
In Missouri.
Okay, I got Ronnie. Wait. Who is T?
Jan R. Florida.
DJ Lane Greenberg, what page are we on, please?
We're on page 64.
Thank you.
Did you want to share?
No.
Okay. So I have Ronnie and Jan R.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive.
Ronnie, please wait.
Oh,
I'm still taking
I'm
names.
I'm sorry. I thought you called my name.
That's okay. No. I have so far, I have Ronnie B. and Jan R. Anybody else want to share? Star one to unmute.
Roz G.
Sharon. Okay, I can take one more. Okay, so we're on page 64, first paragraph, beginning with, therefore we started upon a personal inventory, ending with, he cannot fool himself about values. Just that one paragraph. And I have Ronnie B., Jan R., Roz G., and Sharon. Okay, Ronnie B., can you tell us your state, please, when you share? Thank you.
Yes, Missouri.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, Ronnie B., compulsive overeater. This personal inventory definitely applied when I first came in and did the great big inventory, fourth step, fifth step, and then followed all the way through. But it applies today in my life across the board. Certainly, a lot of things had to be gotten rid of. You know, they had to get out of the closet with all the cobwebs, and this stuff no longer serves me, like keeping things to myself, trying to figure out things, thinking I alone could handle my abstinence. Things like, oh my God, okay, that's an ice cream cone. If I just eat the top, I'll be okay. You know, all that stuff had to be thrown away because it was all about the illusion with disillusionment of control. Some of the really good things that I could keep is that I really wanted this program. I could see how it was helping others. I was willing to get on the phone line and get a sponsor. I was willing to do the steps and sponsor. I was willing to have a food plan. So all those things were good things. So I needed to remember to keep those. But definitely when the stuff comes up today that's on the left side, the not so good side, I've always heard from other people in the program for years, if I tell on myself, that area of my life can have a greater chance of getting better. So don't come off as knowing it all. Picking up the phone is still an issue for me. Not if somebody calls me, then I can pick up the phone. But reaching out when I'm not in a great space is still on that side of my inventory that needs a whole lot of help. So this whole thing about fact facing and fact finding, those are two areas of my life that I really need to take a very deep look at over and over again. I'm blessed to have a sponsor that guides me through this. You know, and if I get off track, she's really very good and honest at getting me back on track. So with this, it says our objective is to disclose the damaged or unsellable goods and get rid of those promptly and without regret. So I work on that. And then if the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about his values. So I don't want to undervalue myself because that's damaging. And certainly don't overvalue myself because that's false inflation. So anyway, it's really good to get online. I was out of the country for 12 days. I'm back in the middle of the boat. It's really great to listen to all your shares and thank you for all your service. That's all I have.
Thanks, Ronnie. Next, we have Jan R. from Florida. Star one, please. Jan R., star one to unmute.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jan R., and I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I love step four, and when it tells me that the spiritual principle of step four is courage, and it does take courage for me, because with courage comes honesty. And I was the biggest liar. I didn't know it. I was cash register honest. But that doesn't count. The hardest part is to be honest with myself, because I can rationalize better than anybody. But having said that, I have to share what we decided in this women's meeting I go to 3 days a week. And it is, we are not going to call them defects anymore. We are going to call them personal defaults, because when I'm in default, when I go back to my old ways, it's like my higher power's little nudge to say, look at yourself. So if I want to grow, if I want to spiritually grow, I have to pay attention to those icky feelings. And figure out honestly what's going on in me. It's usually control. It's usually fear. We all know those things. But that's all I got. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Jan. Next, we have Roz G. And if you could just tell us where you're from, please.
Good morning. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm on my way to work. This is a third day for me. I can't remember when the last time I shared, but I know it was recent. Anyway, I used to work in a fast food establishment that sold tacos, and I was one of the managers of the establishment. And every Sunday night, we had to take an inventory to see how many, you know, shells we had. It was the most important thing that we sold. And if we ran out of taco shells, we were in trouble. Our business was going to go broke. We had angry customers. We had to go borrow from another store to get taco shells. It's just you know, bad that we didn't inventory the taco shells or whatever else it was. And in my cupboard, in my kitchen, I have to take an inventory before I go to the store, which many times I do not. If I do not take an inventory of what's in my cupboard, I will buy twice. I will overbuy. Or if I do not, hey, before I recovered, all my vegetables and fruits used to go bad because I didn't eat them. But today, you know, I do. So I got to go in my refrigerator and look to see, okay, what do I need? Because if I don't, I'm screwed. Either I'm overbuying or I'm not giving myself what I need. And so as it is with this inventory, it is a fact-finding experience. The first time I took an inventory, I answered hundreds of questions. It took me 4 months. What is that? It's a well-intended person, you know, helping me to look deeply in within my life. But did the recovery follow that? No. Relapse, just living, you know, living mediocre life, not looking at my character defects. Really, it didn't. This book with this, you know, to the fact, to the point process, has been the most effective way for me to look at who I'm pissed off at, what they did, where was my part, and that's the most important. You know, I discovered I live, you know, I'm so selfish and self-centered. I'm so filled with myself and annoyances of how people are and what they don't do my way. It's just ridiculous. And so today, I live in reality. I look for the good. I know that we're all God's kids. We all need to be here. And we all can offer something good to each other. And we're all here, sick people trying to get better. That's the attitude I need to have every day. And with the 10th step, you know, mini 4th step, I do the same thing every day. So grateful for this work, grateful for you all. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Roz. And next we have Sharon. Excuse me. And Sharon, would you please give us the initial of your last name and where you're from?
Hi, this is Sharon E. from Ohio. Grateful and recovering, also a reader. And thank you very much for all of your service today and everything that everybody said, because it helps me so much. When a business owner takes his inventory, he looks at the value, and that's the same with me. I need to look at the value. I need to look at the character defects and the values. You can't fool yourself about the values when you look at it honestly. As much control as I had over my life and everything, it always surprised me, the lack of control I had over food and my addiction, which is my dishonesty about myself. I mean, the value of my characteristics, I think I'm more than I am, which needs to be changed and looked at. I find that I end up not seeing my own dishonesty. I spent so many years being a victim, both realistically and in my own mind, like way after the victimhood was over, like the actual victimhood. And it caused a deficit in honesty in my own behaviors, which includes my food eating behaviors. And so once again, I love these meetings because they help me to see what my inventory needs, you know, is. And then I find myself being more honest with myself just even after a meeting. So I appreciate y'all, love y'all, and thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sharon. We have time for one more share, maybe two if y'all just speak for 2 minutes. Anybody want to jump in?
This is Elaine G.
Elaine G. from New York, and anybody
Larry
else?
G. Larry
and
G.
Larry G. Okay, if you could each just take 2 minutes, please. Go ahead, Elaine. Star one to unmute.
Elaine G. from New York. I've done many footsteps, but, well, a lot of them I was an abstinent. So I don't know how thoroughly the fourth step was. All I know is I found it, instead of fearless, I found it fearful, you know? And there was one footstep I did when I was sober and abstinent, and I got a lot out of it. I shared it with an Al-Anon person, and I was able to let go of the resentment I had toward my father. You know, I understand my father had a lot of fears, you know, and I'm also it's unbelievable right now. I'm letting go of the resentment toward my brother, because I realize my brother, he's not all there, to tell you the truth. You know, he can't cope with the fact that his wife broke 8 vertebrae in the back, and nothing else matters. And no, I can't talk to him on the phone because he'll just start an argument with me. But now I have compassion for him. My sponsor said to me, "Why don't you write about your brother?" I didn't write about him, but I went to God with it, you know? And that's what happened in the fourth step there. After you write the fourth step, you got to go to God, you know? And, of course, you got to pick somebody, you know, for the fifth that's not going to be judgmental, you know? And, that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Elaine. Okay, Larry, you have like 2 minutes. Larry G.
Yeah, it's Larry G from California. I'm going to make this short and sweet. I took a formal inventory in May of 2020. I've been absent since then, and I probably have written, I don't know, 300-410 steps and taken at least that many. But the last 2 days, on Sunday and Monday, I've wanted to eat. The obsession has returned. Now, this morning I woke up, and I did a lot of prayer and meditation, and that has subsided. But I'm really interested in talking to members who have been around 3 or 5 years who did everything that was asked from them and relapsed. I do not want to go back to that way of life. I'd rather just put a bullet through my head than go back to that way of life. So I'm calling in favors because I call new people every single day, and I really would love to get some support today. Calls from people who have been around a while, who relapsed after 3 or 5 years, now back, you know, back absent again. So if you're willing to share with me your experience, strength, and hope, my name and number is listed on the membership list, and I would love to hear from you because I don't want to do this in isolation. That's what I did. I got this out in isolation prior to come to vision, and inevitably I would eat, and that's the last thing that I would like to see happen. So if there's anybody out there that would like to support me today, I would love to hear from you. Larry G from California, thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, everyone who shared their experience, strength, and hope today. Let's see. We're going to stop the sharing. We're going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service this month, and I pass.